Today's StreamGlobe devotional is titled, Walking in God's Great Power. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall take our Bible reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I have just read from the King James Version. Roland desired to walk in God's great power because he understood that it was essential for effectiveness in life and ministry. After observing the lives of those who walked in this power, he noticed that they were closer to God than most other believers. He realized that the secret to walking in great power is a closer knowledge of God through fellowship with him. Today's Bible verse reveals that the first thing we experience in our knowledge of God is the power of his resurrection. This is the greatest power God has revealed to creation, both spiritual and physical. It raised Christ from the dead and exalted him above all creation. Many Christians do not walk in God's great power because their hearts are too far from him. Their relationship with the Lord is often limited to asking and receiving without a true desire to know him and his ways. Moses was powerful because he knew God and understood his ways. See Psalm 103:7. He spent more time in the presence of God than anyone else. A loving father is naturally closer to his obedient children who love spending time with him, more than to those who only communicate to ask for things. In the same way, God desires fellowship, not just requests. Go into today, remembering that fellowship with God is the key to walking in the power of God that has been freely made available to you in Christ. Prayer. Ask the Lord to help you cultivate a deeper friendship with him. If you have not yet accepted Christ as your Lord but wish to be saved, let's pray this prayer together. Hand over the ownership and government of your life to Christ today by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You can say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today that I am a sinner. I ask you to save me and give me your Spirit. I confess that you are Lord, and I believe that you died for me and resurrected on the third day for my salvation. Thank you, Father, for receiving me into your glorious family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from John chapter 7 to 9. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, John chapters 7 to 9.
He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders were there looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him,
"Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world."
For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told them,
"My time is not yet here. For you any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I'm not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come."
Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, "Where is he?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said,
"He's a good man."
Others replied,
"No, he deceives the people."
But no one would say anything publicly about him, for fear of the leaders. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked,
"How did this man get such learning without having been taught?"
Jesus answered,
"My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?"
"You are demon-possessed.
The crowd answered,
"Who is trying to kill you?"
Jesus said to them,
"I did one miracle, and you are all amazed yet, because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs. You circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly."
At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask,
"Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah?"
"But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from."
Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out,
"Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me."
At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said,
"When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man?"
The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said,
"I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come."
The Jews said to one another,
"Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks?"
What did he mean when he said, "You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come"?
On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice,
"Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them."
By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said,
"Surely this man is the prophet."
Others said,
"He is the Messiah."
Still others asked,
"How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?"
Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them,
"Why didn't you bring him in?"
"No one ever spoke the way this man does,"
the guards replied.
"You mean he has deceived you also?"
the Pharisees retorted.
"Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him?"
"No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them."
Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked,
"Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?"
They replied,
"Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee."
Then they all went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus,
"Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?"
They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them,
Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.
Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older one was first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her,
"Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?"
"No one, sir,"
she said. "Then neither do I condemn you,"
Jesus declared.
"Go now and leave your life of sin."
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said,
"I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
The Pharisees challenged him.
"Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid."
Jesus answered,
"Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me."
Then they asked him,
"Where is your Father?"
"You do not know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also."
He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them,
"I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come."
This made the Jews ask,
"Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?"
But he continued,
"You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins."
"Who are you?"
they asked.
"Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world."
They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said,
"When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him."
Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said,
"If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
They answered him,
"We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?"
Jesus replied,
"Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father."
"Abraham is our father,"
they answered.
"If you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father."
"We are not illegitimate children.
The only father we have is God himself."
"If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil,
and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God.
The Jews answered him,
"Aren't we right in saying that you are Samaritan and demon-possessed?"
"I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death."
At this, they exclaimed,
"Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death.
Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?"
"If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad."
"You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham."
"Very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am."
At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him,
"Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
"Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes.
"Go,"
he told him,
"wash in the pool of Siloam."
This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked,
"Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?"
Some claimed that he was. Others said,
"No, he only looks like him."
But he himself insisted,
"I am the man."
"How then were your eyes opened?"
they asked. He replied,
"The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed. And then I could see."
"Where is this man?"
"I don't know."
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight.
"He put mud on my eyes,"
the man replied,
"and I washed, and now I see."
Some of the Pharisees said,
"This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath."
But others asked,
"How can a sinner perform such signs?"
So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man.
"What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened."
And the man replied,
"He is a prophet."
They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents.
"Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?"
"We know he is our son,"
the parents answered.
"And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind.
"Give glory to God and tell the truth. We know this man is a sinner."
He replied,
"Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see."
Then they asked him,
"What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?"
He answered,
I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?"
Then they hurled insults at him and said,
"You are this fellow's disciple? We are disciples of Moses.
We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from."
The man answered,
"Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing."
To this, they replied,
"You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?"
And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
"Who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him."
Jesus said,
"You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you."
Then the man said,
"Lord, I believe."
And he worshipped him. Jesus said,
"For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind."
Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked,
"What? Are we blind too?"
Jesus said,
"If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
What did you just hear now? Stream Globe devotional audio. This one go help you. May you know the word of God well, well, so that you go day strong in your spirit and you go become more and more like Jesus Christ. We want to make you share this audio with your friends for WhatsApp and for Telegram. God bless you as you do so. You feel learn more about this ministry if you visit our website for www.streamglobe.org or www.devotional.ng. Also, you feel call us on our telephone at +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547.